W-2 Chippewa Falls, W-2280P Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacey Lynn. After days of speculation, President Biden has announced he's backing out of the 2024 presidential race. CBS's Robert Costa.
For the last few days, President Biden has been talking to family members, talking to his top advisors, and been thinking about the political future ahead of him for both the party and his own presidency. And this has been a heart-wrenching decision, I've been told by Democrats, as he has thought it through. He has wanted to stay in the race.
He tells us President Biden has now endorsed Kamala Harris for the Democratic ticket, and California Governor Newsom and Michigan Governor Whitmer will not challenge her. Our Nancy Cordes with more from the White House.
This is the president basically turning not only his endorsement over to the vice president, but also his campaign war chest, his campaign operation, basically giving her the most high-profile endorsement he can to launch her on what will now be a breakneck 3.5-month campaign for the presidency.
The Congressional Black Caucus says it fully supports Harris. Former President Obama says he has confidence that Democratic leaders will create a process for an outstanding nominee to emerge. DNC Chairman Jamie Harrison.
I am emotional about the president's decision because this president, Joe Biden, has been a transformational president. He's been a great leader.
Here's political analyst Larry Sabato.
Biden was headed toward not just a decisive defeat, but quite possibly in the Electoral College, a landslide defeat. That's not the way to go out.
Former White House correspondent Peter Mayer calls this a political earthquake.
We've seen something like this play out only once before in modern history with Lyndon Johnson's surprise 1968 announcement that he would not seek his party's nomination for president. Like President Biden, LBJ could point to huge domestic achievements, including the Voting Rights Act, Medicare and Medicaid, but he was saddled with the Vietnam War. Joe Biden's ultimate challenges were far more personal. Age and lack of confidence among many of his own party were insurmountable burdens.
Reaction from lawmakers is pouring in. In a statement, House Majority Leader Steve Scalise said, quote, Democrat Party bosses just proved that they have absolutely no respect for their own voters. After lecturing others about democracy, they just forced Joe Biden off the ticket, trashing the primary choice of 14 million voters. President Biden says he will address the nation on his decision sometime this week. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Nationwide, community college enrollment grew by 100,000 students last year, and a large percentage of them were from lower-income neighborhoods. Here's Deborah Van Fleet.
At Western Nebraska Community College, TRIO Programs Director Tanya DeWitt says a number of their students who qualify for the federally funded program designed to help students with economic and other challenges has definitely increased. TRIO students must be a first-generation college student, have a household income not exceeding 150% of the federal poverty guideline, or have a disability. TRIO participants receive academic assistance, and DeWitt says many benefit from the Growth Mindset program.
Instead of, I can't do it, well, you can't do it right now, sure, but you can. All those negative, immediate, oh, well, no, I can't do nursing. Well, why is that? I just can't. Well, that's not true. So let's get to the bottom of it. Let's see what that is that's keeping you from being able to be successful.
DeWitt says the academic supports include in-person tutoring, 24/7 virtual tutoring, study guides, and online programs that assist with writing and research. She says the nursing program is very popular with TRIO students, and interest in the trades offerings is also growing. DeWitt says the ability to access tutoring any hour of the day or night, including holidays, is huge for some of their TRIO students.
We have the ones that are single parents in the middle of the night. That's when they're doing their homework.
Roughly 10% of WNCC's TRIO students are single parents. The Institute for Women's Policy Research reports that a large percentage of college students who are parents face enormous barriers to academic success, many of them economic. Support for this reporting was provided by Lumina Foundation. I'm Deborah Van Fleet. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some showers and storms around the area today. Outside of the rain, a mix of clouds and sunshine, highs in the lower 80s, or winds will be light. Tonight, partly cloudy, a few sprinkles, lows in the lower 60s, a few showers and storms around for your Monday. It's 78 at our studios.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, Trigvi Olson from the Lincoln Project gives a convention review from Republicans hoping to reclaim their party someday from Trump extremists.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin.
For all of Wisconsin.
Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
This week, Mino and the mayor celebrated 1 year on the air out of their studio in Green Bay. We go first to them on this week's Civic Media Spotlight. They get lots of great texts from listeners congratulating them on their year on the air, and also many a question about the party that Jim planned for their anniversary.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Good morning! Happy Wednesday to you, everybody.
More than that,
happy anniversary, Mr. Mayor.
To you, Mr. Mino, this has been...
To Todd.
And to Todd.
We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Todd.
Yes.
We would not be sitting here if it wasn't for Todd.
I was not here a year ago.
I know, but we were.
Thank you, Todd, for showing up, because this wouldn't be a quiet time if you didn't show up.
I think I was in the studio like 3 days later, though, wasn't I?
I don't know. We went through two people before you.
Yeah, I think I came in like to try and...
Oh, my God. Save it. Here we are. So just for the listeners, and I don't know if there's anyone who listened a year ago today, but a year ago today, Johnny and I came on the radio and started our show, and I was... talking to my wife last night. She goes, I remember how nervous you were, because I had never done radio. Johnny, of course, 40 years. And we got here, and it was out of Madison then, wasn't it? They were calling us from Madison.
Saying, I think so, yeah.
You guys are going on in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And I had all these notes and flow charts. If this doesn't go. We'll
I remember we had arrows. You have a note, and you have an arrow pointing that circle. I did. And another one going down this way in circles.
If yes, go here. If no, go there.
Right. Exactly. That's me. And Johnny's looking out the window.
I'm like, dude. I was like cleaning my nails.
Right. I'm like, dude, we're coming on pretty soon. Anyway.
What do you think has been the highlight of the year? If we have any texters out there that have been with us basically from the beginning, tell us about the highs and lows, what you've experienced with our show.
We'll leave the lows out.
Well, either way. Sometimes the lows are the most
fun. But, you know, speaking of the lows, though, I mean, you know what?
When I get together with my old radio people, do we talk about the great highs? Yeah. What do we talk about?
As do we when we bring the band back together at the city hall. It's like the lowest. Council meetings.
Absolutely.
It's like, do you remember that when you flew off the handle? It's like, yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
Do.
So if anybody's listening, right. Let us know what you remember of the highs or lows from the show, or the best guests or anything like that. Right. Text us, please.
And you know, it was almost a year yesterday, but yesterday I may have made a a tactical mistake, and you jumped on me. Listen to the show. But we were talking about Carly Simon was 81.
Got a nice text. Happy anniversary to you guys.
All right. We're happy.
Lisa. Hi, thank you, Lisa.
Sorry. And then I just want to say that I was thinking about this yesterday. So then we talked about Linda Ronstadt, and yeah. I said, boy, there's...
But problems.
I said, and you guys just both jumped on me big time.
Well, like, we not both just, love Linda Ronstadt.
Well, okay.
Linda Ronstadt, back. Okay, we talk album covers. Okay, Carly Simon album cover with the tank top or whatever, the big floppy cap, and Linda Ronstadt with the rollerblades and knee socks, Todd?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, all right. I maybe didn't see that.
I think you were thinking of Janis Joplin, maybe?
You know what? That's who I was thinking of.
Okay.
They're about the same age.
Yeah.
One heavy on heroin.
Yes.
And
killed her.
And had a very promiscuous sex life.
Yes.
Janis Joplin.
Yeah.
Okay. That was, and they, I don't know that they look a lot alike, but they don't.
No,
they look
not nothing, at all. Nothing, no. nothing.
Well, they
nothing.
Both have brown hair. I just want to say, you guys, a little, it's not like one was black and one was white.
Everybody with brown hair looks well, the no, same.
I just want to say,
wow.
But they were the same age. It was within a couple of years. So anyway, yes, they were.
Same era.
That's better. And I want to say that Linda Ronstadt, though, she was with Moonbeam for a while, wasn't she? That crazy governor of California?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a little weird.
What's his name?
Jerry Brown.
You're right.
Remember him?
Did he? No, he's not the one that got caught on that yacht with somebody else. Was it where it said, like, fun times or kinky times? Remember the name of the boat was something? He was going to run for president.
Oh, yeah.
And then it had, remember the name of the boat? There's a picture of him and that, like, I think a girl that worked for him, a hot blonde, sitting on his lap. Oh, what was the name of the boat? It was, like, so apropos.
That didn't sound like, well, I don't know.
Was that Jerry Brown?
I don't know that.
No? Okay.
Usually those East Coast guys like the yachts. I don't know. Anyway, I just want to, I wasn't all wrong, is what I'm saying.
No, you weren't all wrong. They have brown
hair.
Not
right, you know. Yeah. You know.
Even though right. Linda Ronstadt, or I mean, even though Janis Joplin didn't really have brown hair. You're right.
Janis Joplin. That's who I was thinking of. So I'm done. All right, I just wanted to, that was my one mistake of the year.
Who am I thinking of, though? The guy, it killed his chances to be president. Yeah, Gary Hart.
Yeah,
Gary Hart.
Oh, he was a West Coast guy. You're right.
But then, what was the name of the boat? It was like something that was like, oh my God, it couldn't be worse for him.
Well, then it got worse for him.
Did it then? Well, he had to drop out.
Well, no, but didn't he?
There was somebody else with that, right? Who was it?
With the intern?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, an intern too.
Somebody fought. Oh. Was it? I don't know.
What?
Yeah. No.
All right. The Monkey Business was the name of his boat.
That's what it was.
Thank you, Todd.
All right. Okay.
You don't want to vote for somebody that is a boat.
Right. Yeah, I have scary heart.
We got some text here. The best part, the extra hour. Another one, Oktoberfest.
Well, isn't that nice of you saying the extra hour?
No, because they didn't say whether that was a positive or negative. That was at a high or low. Right?
All right, make
it an assumption. But it does have exclamation points. Congratulations, guys. Got that. Got another one. Okay, I have one, the high point. I really think the conversation with Kristen Lierley about prostate cancer in women is a high point.
And if you don't remember that.
That's when John asked her, have you had your prostate out? And she's like, what?
I told you this before. I don't know women's body parts.
I thought the question was, do women get prostate cancer?
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
That was funny. That's a good listener.
Thank you, people. Please keep them coming. Let us know what's been the high point or low point of our year.
But, I was telling these guys before the show, I met with a potential advertiser yesterday and very much enjoys the show. And he goes, what I like about you guys is sometimes retail people, even though they may have their own personal beliefs, you got to kind of stay out of controversial things, you know, like politics. And they may have gotten off another show that they were on before because the guy went too rogue. And he just said, yeah, I just really enjoy it.
Well, you represent them.
Yeah. And he said, look, they're going to do something with us, and it'd be fun to announce them, but you know, hopefully in the next week or two.
Great.
We got a great text from Sheila. She says, I'm so happy you two decided to start a show. It's what I look forward to each morning, especially Mondays. It gets my day going. I love how different Mino and the mayor are from each other. Great together, like peanut butter and jelly.
Thank you, Sheila.
Well, isn't that nice?
Very nice of you.
I thought it was oil and vinegar, but no, it is. It's sweet. We are two different people, though. I mean, and we've known each other for, what, 20 years?
Forever, since you were first.
Right.
Yeah.
And yet we didn't know each other.
Todd and I are both laughing at text that just came through. We want you to read this one, Jim.
Wait, out of my glasses.
Come on.
It says, morning, men. Jim, congratulations. It looks like you've made it. What time is the helicopter dropping by?
Give it the bell, Tom.
All right. Yeah, all right. The bell. Okay, that... All right. Oh, man.
When's the ping pong drop?
That was a good idea.
That was a great idea.
No, we, yeah. You know,
Oh, my God. We got to tell this story, though, Todd. So this morning, I'm walking on the sidewalk
here.
To come to the store, and there's Jim heading that way, north on Washington Street. It's like, why are you heading away from the studio, Jim? And I come in, I said, okay, this is weird. I think I just saw Jim driving the opposite direction, and now he's turning around. What? Tell it why, Todd.
Well, because when I pulled up this morning to park where we normally park, just on City Deck Court here, there's a row of spots right next to the
meters.
Station. Yep. They were all bagged off. And I realized at that point, at about 5:15 this morning, that it was part of Jim's idea for the ping pong ball drop.
For the anniversary party, the helicopter, so nobody can park there today.
That's why they're bagged off.
Yes.
Sent that in.
Yes.
So I'm in my office. I'm in my office, and I see Jim pull up, and then I see him immediately turn around and go the street.
I thought they were maybe painting the lines.
Is that a classic? Oh, that one will live in infamy.
Well, at least the city listens to us.
Oh my God!
And that was a while ago. I sent it to him. I said, "Block off because we're gonna have a."
But the funny part is, no, you can't park there. Right?
You gotta park out there.
All right, we can take the bags off.
That is phenomenal.
DPW listens to us, so you guys come take the bags off. Oh, damn. That would have been good, though. I'm going to save it for our 5-year anniversary.
That'll be great.
Okay.
I was wondering when I drove it, I didn't see Todd's car. I thought, and then I see they're all bagged off. I'm like, I wonder what that's for.
So did you just realize now that that's the
reality? Yes, I did. I just realized. It just came to me. It's like, oh, that's why.
That's beautiful. Yeah. If anything sums up our 1 year,
it's that.
He biatches and complains because every day he can't find a quarter to turn out there to fill the meter. And today he doesn't have to because he got the city to shut them all down. And they did such a great job that even he can't park there.
Oh, God.
Oh, could have parked there for free today. That would have been their anniversary.
You should go park there.
I could, yeah.
See what they say.
No, they'll be. We're the ones.
Hey, buddy, these are closed off.
Just
the mayor wants the ex-mayor wants these all closed off. Yeah, I am the ex-mayor. Sure you are, buddy.
Oh
my God! All right. Beautiful.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, next year we'll do it. But anyway, it is a year. It's been a year. It's been great. I mean, when you were a kid, and maybe Todd thought you might be in radio.
Yeah.
TV.
Yep.
I did. You know what?
I never did.
When I was a junior in high school, we all had to do a vocation or career type thing. Yeah. And, you know, huge report, had a job shadow, like, you know, whatever. And mine was being a radio disc jockey.
That's pretty cool that your parents supported you. And I think they did. But to do that. And I think sometimes kids come up with stuff and the parents are like, no money.
I never thought I was going to be on TV. Not in a million years.
I don't believe that.
Oh, no.
In theater.
But I didn't have that TV
look.
Back in those days.
Oh, I don't know,
they
John.
Had that look.
You're always bragging about how you look like Bob Dylan or whatever.
Well, I'm not sure there's a lot of people on TV that want to look like Bob Dylan. Wow.
That is true.
Yeah. That's really true. All right. What did you want to be?
Actually, back then, Johnny.
Wait a minute. Todd, we're going to hit to a quick break. You got to play a song from the exact era when I was doing that.
This is good to who?
WOLD.
I'll get that.
When we come back, we'll play that.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what I want to be. Yes.
Okay.
All right.
We're going to set a break.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL-HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL-HHS or the U.S. government.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Next up on Civic Media Spotlight, we go to Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Pat marks the second anniversary of the repeal of women's rights preserved by Roe v. Wade, and then reviews several GOP candidates who are decidedly on the wrong end of the issue.
I actually don't know much about the band Cake, but I know this song, and I like it very, very much. John McRae is 60 years old today. From Tony and Hayward up on Facebook, a grand slam is one of the best things in all of sports. Yes, no denying it. Here's the call from Reese Hoskins last night. At least once he steps to the plate, he's knocking the
loading.
Dirt off his cleats.
Now it's playing a commercial. I hate technology.
Everything's got to be a pre-roll.
Nobody out.
I love a good grand slam.
Just amazing.
It was. Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's check on some of the headlines here. What did I miss yesterday while I was away getting back into town? Well, the big thing, of course, was the two-year anniversary of the Dobbs decision, which was, I'm not going to say anticlimactic, but again, the decision had been leaked. And everybody has their own theories because nobody ever proved who did it. I choose to sympathize with those who say it had something to do with Justice Alito, who is the most political beast on the court, who wanted to basically, test the waters, take the temperature. But, it also could have been folks from the left side as well. But people thought, is this really going to happen? Is this really going to happen? And then it did. 2 years ago today, this Supreme Court revoking a constitutionally protected right to privacy as identified by a prior U.S. Supreme Court 49 years earlier. Since that time, in election after election after election, especially whether it's special elections to Congress or statewide votes to restore or protect women's reproductive health rights, the people have spoken and said that what this court did in the Dobbs decision was wrong. And that now, like it or not, there's going to be this generation-long battle to restore women's rights that should have been protected, should be codified into law. And so it will play a role. It's played a role in past elections. It's going to play a role in this and every future election until it's restored. And there's really no two ways about it, because they will be restored. This country is simply not going to allow itself to slide into a theocracy where one particular religious view of controlling women and their bodies will be allowed to take root. But until then, it's going to be up to voters to turn out every single time. And that's going to include several races for legislature here in the state of Wisconsin. For example, you've got in the new 8th State Senate District, you've got Democrat Jody Habesh-Sinikin taking on Republican Dewey Strobel, who voted against repealing the 1849 ban that was in statutes shortly after Wisconsin became a state. Dewey Strobel voted in favor of a 14-week abortion ban. But here to me is the one that is most egregious. Dewey Strobel was the only no vote when the Senate, on a vote of 32-1, voted to extend postpartum Medicaid coverage for new moms and babies. Currently, that health care coverage for new moms runs for 60 days. There are now only 3 states at 60 days. The other 47 have taken advantage of a federal funding to have coverage for new moms for 1 year after birth. But it's still not the law in Wisconsin. Not just because Dewey Strobel was the only one to vote against it in the Senate, but because despite having enough co-sponsors in the assembly to pass, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss would not allow it to come up for a vote. So, 2 middle-aged rich white guys, Dewey Strobel and Robin Voss, said, nope, we know what's best for women. And what's best for women is that they not have the security of health insurance coverage for their moms and babies. We'd rather see a 14-week abortion ban. We'd rather see this 1849 statute seen as an abortion ban. And they, of course, celebrated the Dobbs decision. So when Jody Habesh-Sinikin runs against Dewey Strobel in the 8th Senate District, she's got some things to talk about that are going to resonate with voters. Same goes for the 14th State Senate District, now represented by Republican Joan Baldwin, who has said that, quote, I believe life begins at conception, and that even if it is started in a terrible way, that's still life. If a woman is raped and it results in a pregnancy, that person who raped her was terrible, but she wasn't. Well, maybe she, the rape victim, wasn't terrible, but according to Joan Baldwin, she also doesn't deserve the right to make her own choices about what to do with her body. Baldwin has co-sponsored a fetal personhood amendment that would grant embryos the same rights as people, basically outlawing all abortion care and threatening IVF, in vitro fertilization treatments. She's being challenged by Sarah Kayeski, the Democratic candidate in the 14th Senate District, and a rural mental health care provider who said that reproductive rights are an important issue to her and will definitely be part of the campaign in this district that now includes the seat north of Madison, parts of Dane, Richland, Columbia, Sauk, Juneau counties. Out in western Wisconsin, you have the new 30th Assembly District, represented for quite some time now by Republican Shannon Zimmerman. He is being opposed by Allison Page, Democratic candidate who is a nurse, hospital administrator, and CEO of Western Wisconsin Health. That new district covers parts of western Wisconsin in the River Falls area. Allison Page has talked about her own health issues in a 1982 pregnancy that necessitated abortion care, a deeply personal issue for someone who had 3 children at the time and who told the Wisconsin Examiner, we should not be going back to a world where someone else feels like they should get to judge a woman's decision. That's not a good world for families, and that's not a good world for women, she told the Wisconsin Examiner. So in these cases and so many more, the Dobbs decision repealing Roe v. Wade, which occurred 2 years ago this week, is very much going to be a factor. You could probably expect something of a question of that nature to come up on Thursday night as well in the first of what are supposed to be 2 debates between President Biden and former President Donald Trump. Civic Media News Director and Midday host Todd Alba will anchor Civic Media's coverage of the 90-minute debate starting at 7:30 on Thursday evening. A Biden spokesman says Trump will finally have to answer in a fair forum for ripping away Americans' freedoms, promising billionaire donors tax cuts, and threatening democracy with promises to rule as a dictator if he wins, or violence if he loses. Hans Breitenmoser joins us next. You're up north.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News special report. President Biden drops his re-election bid. Mr. Biden announcing that today on social media. CBS News elections correspondent Robert Costa.
This was a deeply personal decision for President Biden, something that he has been reckoning with for weeks since that debate in Atlanta, Georgia, where many Democrats believed he did not perform in a way that provided the party with confidence as it heads toward the November election.
That debate raised questions about the 81-year-old's health and stamina. President Biden has endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris as the Democratic presidential nominee. CBS News White House correspondent Nancy Cordes.
This is the president basically turning not only his endorsement over to the vice president, but also his campaign war chest, his campaign operation.
The Democrats hold their national convention next month. CBS News special report. I'm Heather Bosch.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Brewers win in extra innings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers playing the Twins in Minnesota before over 41,600 fans, the largest crowd ever for a regular season game at Target Field. Freddie Peralta pitched the first six scoreless innings. Then the Twins scored and it was tied up 1-1 heading into the 11th inning, and things got wild. The Twins scoring three runs into the 12th, the Brewers putting up seven to make it an 8-4 win for Milwaukee, with Jackson Churio in at left fielder for Christian Yelich, who was out with a sore back. Churio making a spectacular diving catch to his left to win the game on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Buxton to left field. Churio is there! And he puts a ribbon on this one. Jackson Churio, three hits out of the nine spot, makes a diving play and puts this one on ice in Minneapolis.
Basketball, the Bucks losing to the Wizards 91-79. Washington outscored the Bucks by 17 in the fourth quarter. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some showers and storms around the area today. Outside of the rain, a mix of clouds and sunshine, highs in the lower 80s, our winds will be light. Tonight, partly cloudy, a few sprinkles, lows in the lower 60s, a few showers and storms around for your Monday. It's 78 at our studios.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WCFW website at wcfw.fm. Your news just for the Eau Claire area. I'm James Kelly with WCFW News.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Few Wisconsin events bring 600,000 people together from 80 different countries, but it happens every summer in Oshkosh.
Oshkosh has become synonymous with the world of flight and with EAA.
Dick Napinski's worked with EAA Air Venture for more than 30 years and knows its history. Do you? Where did EAA start? Wausau, La Crosse, or Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The fly-in is spread across 1,600 acres with more than 10,000 airplanes. It brings a big boost to the economy, too.
It's $170 million of economic impact and more than $110 million of direct spending.
So where did EAA start? Milwaukee in 1953 called the Wisconsin Air Pageant with 21 planes. All moved to Oshkosh in 1970, a high-flying slice of Wisconsin. It's happening July 22nd to the 28th. I'm Terry Barr. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Crude and Dom.
Join the Devil's Advocates on Monday. We've got Congressman Mark Pocan. He'll tell us why he's advocating for Joe Biden to step down as the presidential candidate for the Dems.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to the Civic Media Spotlight. Next up, we go to Matt Nair on air. Jane and Greg were joined by Maggie Dawn to take a deeper dive into Project 2025 and to help lay out specifics on what will happen if Trump gets a second term.
Well done, Calvin. Welcome back to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon continues to ruin on a daily basis. Excited to be joined by our friend and colleague, Maggie Dawn. You can catch her show every weekday, 2 to 4 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. And we're going to continue our conversation about Project 2025. We started off the hour playing a clip of Kevin Roberts, who is the president of the Heritage Foundation. He was on MSNBC over the weekend talking to the former head of the RNC, Michael Steele, about what this would do and how this will drastically change democracy. We did have a text from Lynn that I wanted to share, and I'm sorry, Lynn, but I don't know. She says, well, Jane and Greg, you are scaring me. Should I be applying for a passport? I'm not trying to scare you, Lynn. I'm trying to make sure everybody understands what this would do. And it's scary.
And we want, you know, we want anyone getting scared, getting a passport and moving away. Maybe, I don't want to say after the fact, but what we're trying to do is bolster your need to vote, to tell your friends to vote, to talk to people. This is a, like, we're having this conversation with each other, with you, the listener. Next step is to take this information, do some more research, and take it on to the next people, whether it's the people who you agree with, just to give them more information, or have those really hard conversations between now and November with those individuals, family, friends. You know, this is what we're trying to do now. We're not trying to, the goal is not to scare you.
It's to inform you.
Yeah.
Really, knowledge is power. And that's why we're trying to break this down and explain what this would mean, especially when we're talking about firing more than, Kevin Roberts said, more than 50,000 civil employees.
Yes.
Scientists, people who work for the FDA.
Yeah.
People with expertise and decades of expertise. We're going to get rid of them and replace them with people who will just do what Trump wants. So Jared Kushner apparently is qualified to do everything. Right,
he's a bridge inspector.
He can just put him in.
Like, there's this fundamental problem, right? That, is baked into Project 2025, and it assumes that, well, of course, we're right about everything. And most really good politicians, most really good leaders that I know, actually will make decisions with some idea that, like, what if I'm wrong and what are the potential negative consequences if my worldview or my policy isn't correct? Like, who might this hurt? What bad things could happen? In fact, that's how the best decision-making occurs. My job as a lawyer, I've done it for nearly 15 years in government. I did it for, like, nearly a decade on Wall Street. My job was to make sure that my clients understood potential unexpected negative consequences of different, not just in a courtroom or in a deal, but like, what might this do to your operations? What might this do to morale? What might this do to your overall mission? Good decisions always will allow for, and people will be willing to talk about, hey, if this doesn't work like you think it might, again, here's who this is going to hurt. Here's what it might cost. And so when we start to look at what organizations like the Heritage Foundation and certain industries that are under a lot of pressure, read pharma, big pharma, and big oil. What those organizations are willing to do is they're willing to paint a picture for conservatives out there that, like, don't worry, we're of course right, and we won't talk to you about any of the potential negative downsides if we might be wrong, even to a degree. And it's painted this false choice, right? And that, to me, is what is really dangerous, because by painting this false choice, they're convincing people on the right that the only way to proceed in our America, our shared America, is by adopting the most extreme versions of everything. So when Jane and Greg are talking about they're going to get rid of the civil service and federal government and replace it with political hacks that don't have the necessary expertise, that sounds like, oh my gosh, that's extreme. But that's the point. By creating a false choice, they push people to an extreme, and they don't disclose to any of you voters what the potential negative downsides should be. And guess what that is in nearly every other facet of our life? Fraud, right? And misrepresentations. When you buy a stinking chainsaw, it says, like, careful, might cut off fingers. Project 2025 should come with a warning label that says, careful, might destroy democracy.
Well, and Kevin Roberts was on, and I can't remember which program this was, but it was a far right show. And he essentially said, all of our plans aren't in the published Project 2025.
Of course they wouldn't be.
We're not going to tell the Democrats everything that we plan to do. So if you think this stuff is bad, imagine how much worse the stuff that they are not sharing with us about the effects of Project 2025.
You couple that with presidential immunity, which will be granted in some way, shape, or form by the gerrymandered kangaroo Supreme Court that Donald Trump constructed to protect himself from any accountability. You couple that immunity, right, with even if a fraction of what Donald Trump has said on the campaign trail is true, things like I'm going to be a dictator, at least on day one, and I will go after my political enemies.
And the media.
I'm going to dismantle the First Amendment. I'm going to sell environmental regulations to the biggest big oil bidder, plus Project 2025. If even just a fraction of that stuff happened, I'm going to tell every single one of you that's listening right now, your life gets worse the day after. There's just an op-ed that came out in the New York Times. I'm going to talk a bit about it today on my show. But I believe it was a Fortune 50 CEO. So like one of the top 50 CEOs of the largest companies in the United States said in the op-ed that CEOs of these huge companies are totally afraid of Trump because they recognize that the system might actually be broken. You can't make money if we're living in an authoritarian state. That ain't capitalism, right? If you start us down the line of the destruction of these institutions, that does not work with and is not compatible with capitalism. So if you're a free market fan, watch out. That isn't what they're selling. They're calling it that, but it's not. It's the picking of winners and losers. And that all depends on who's in power in the White House.
And that's one of the things we're talking about before earlier is that, you know, he got it right up in front of billionaires' faces and says, give me money, I'll do what you want. Or if you don't vote for me, or if you don't make me win, you should be fired. And my point was, if he will talk to the 1% of the 1% like that,
yeah,
imagine just the nothing we are to him and the nothing we are to the people who will enforce these rules, which will most likely become laws. And when you talk about things like, you know, what about fraud? There won't be charges of fraud anymore because the courts won't charge. They won't do anything. They will be appointed by us in afraid of losing their job. So anyone can, like, at least in the government, can do whatever they want because there will be no consequences. And we already see there are no consequences, but even more so in this system.
Well, and no guardrails.
No.
All the guardrails will be removed and replaced with loyalists. Like you said, Maggie, someone pointing out, hey, let's think about what if we do A, what is this going to mean further down the road?
Like, and work through the entire equation, yes, and the dominoes. Let's not be so limited. Let's not be so tribal. This matters to everybody. And guess what? As with every single political policy and argument that has ever been had in this country, things will go wrong. It's government, right? Yeah. And guess who bears the brunt when things go wrong? Working people like you and me, as well as the poorest of the poor folks. That is the way that it will go. The one percenters and the Donald Trumps who grew up with silver spoons stuck up their rear ends they won't be paying the price. No. You and I will, the regular folk.
Well, ultimately, I think they will pay the price. But initially,
it'll take a while.
It'll take a while. But look at Vladimir Putin's close friends and how that's all worked out over the decades for them. A lot of them have had bad things happen with Windows.
On board or dead.
Yeah,
none of his friends can fly.
Amazing. John from Milwaukee has been very patient on the line. Good morning, John. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say about Project 2025?
Good morning. Hey, I was interested in your discussion about that Mr. Roberts. I actually saw that program, and they asked him if Biden won the election. And he said, well, he's the president. You know, he wouldn't admit to it. And then they asked, he claimed a lot of fraud. And he was asked from the Heritage Papers how much fraud there was since 1982. And he didn't answer, and so she read it off the sheet. It was 1,513 cases of fraud since 1982, 22 years. And the guy said, well, that's because the Democrats are really good at hiding fraud.
Yeah.
Just absurd, unprovable denial. And I was just stunned by this guy's audacity to just claim things.
Absolutely, John. And we do actually have that clip. Thank you so much for calling and thank you for listening. Kevin, let's play that clip from Kevin Roberts again from over the weekend on MSNBC about accepting the election results for the November election.
Alicia just asked, is your organization going to accept the results of the 2024 election, regardless of the outcome?
Yes, if there isn't massive fraud like there was in 2020.
What does that mean?
If there isn't massive fraud.
Do you believe that there was not massive fraud?
There was massive fraud.
We have an election fraud database
that has documented that over years. By the way, the Heritage Foundation has been concerned about election integrity for decades, not just about 2020. We've been documenting this problem for a very long time. And if I believe,
according to the Heritage Foundation, sir, by your count, Heritage Foundation has done an investigation. And according to your count, there have been 1,513 proven instances of voter fraud across the United States. Huh. Since 1982.
That doesn't seem like enough votes to swing an election for some reason.
No, there isn't. And there, if you go on the Brennan Center of Justice, they do a lot of work in this. They've done a lot of studies on voter fraud, and they have proven over and over again that there is not enough voter fraud for it to be a problem. It should be investigated. It should be taken care of. But it's certainly not something that has to require something like this, especially things like voter ID. But that's a different discussion. But over and over again, it's said that this is not the country-destroying problem that the Trump Party has said it is.
But yeah, the MAGA cult. Let's be clear about what's happening here. Mr. Roberts knows that what he just said on national television is a lie. Now, I don't know what's wrong with the FCC, but why is it okay to lie about that all the time on national television? Setting that aside, why is he lying, right? He is lying because that lie motivates the MAGA cult to vote. That is why a man who is unquestionably probably a genius level thinker, an incredibly smart person if he's leading the Heritage Foundation, that is a conservative think tank, they hire PhDs. This is a smart, smart man. That's why he's lying, because it is overt manipulation. So, and I'll say this. I represented Milwaukee County's Elections Board in the 2020 recount. I have seen ballots hand counted. I've seen ballots challenged. I've seen ballots challenged based on every single legal argument that Donald Trump's campaign could bring. I've watched machines count ballots. I've watched machines and then humans count that same stack of ballots. I can tell you, it ain't pretty. It is slow and painstaking. There is no fraud. There is no irregularity. There's no intentionality. This is not a thing. The system is so diffused of power that it is not possible. It's a lie.
We're going to keep this conversation going with Maggie Dawn, the host of the Maggie Dawn Show from 2 to 4 p.m. across Civic Media. Stay close. Jack, I see you on the line. Please stick around. We will be right back. This is Matt Nair on air coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network.
In the year 95, I'm kind of wondering if man is
everything this old earth can give. And he ain't put back nothing, whoa, whoa. Now it's been 10,000 years, man has cried a billion tears for what he never knew.
Matt Nair on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday mornings from 10 till noon. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion, yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wrapping up hour one of the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie and Brian break down the news about Julian Assange and take lots of calls from inquisitive listeners.
Take me down. Welcome back, everybody. Chatting about Julian Assange, hero or villain. But I think what the discussion with all of you and Brian and myself has shown is it's not just about Assange, right? This really gets us to some pretty deep questions about government actions, government accountability, especially when we're talking about the military and intelligence apparatus. Helen, she's on 94, headed to Cedarburg. Welcome to the show, Helen. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Hi, thanks. I feel very strongly that we have the right to know. We have the right to decide. And we means that we citizens, and in order to do that, we need a free press, which is guaranteed in our Constitution. The free press is the fourth estate. It's equal to, it has equal rights to the other powers of our government. And I feel like Assange has been made a victim for many years now. In fact, I believe his mental health is in question. If he deserved any punishment, he's had it. But the main point is that you said, who has the right to decide? And that is, we do.
Thanks so much, Helen. I really appreciate the perspective. Please drive safely. Just as a point of note, Assange did have a small stroke while he was incarcerated. I also want to make note of this, lest we simplify in any way, shape, or form who or what Julian Assange is or represents. Again, he had sought sanctuary for years in Britain in the Ecuadorian embassy, not just because of the United States indictment of him, but because he was also trying to avoid extradition to Sweden, where he faced accusations of sexual assault. So I just... again, there's no simple way to view Julian Assange. With that being said, let's take a listen to what human rights lawyer Jennifer Robinson said of the prosecution by the U.S. government just yesterday, I believe.
Today is a historic day. It brings to an end 14 years of legal battles. And finally, after 14 years of legal battles, Julian Assange can go home a free man. Julian has suffered for more than 14 years because of the risk of extradition to the United States. He faced 175 years in prison for publishing evidence of war crimes, human rights abuse, and U.S. wrongdoing around the world. Today, he pleaded guilty to an offence for having published information in the public interest, for which he's won journalism awards the world over and been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize every year for the past decade.
Talk about some deep thoughts. Julian Assange, possible Nobel Peace Prize winner. And again, that was his lawyer, human rights lawyer, Jennifer Robinson. Julian Assange is an Australian national. So let's take a listen to what Prime Minister Anthony Albanese said today about Mr. Assange.
And my government advocated strategically, patiently, in a calibrated way, and we achieved this outcome. My job is to advocate for Australian citizens. Chang Lei is home. Sean Turnell is home. One of the things that my government does is at times as well, we don't shout. We're not in a contest of machismo. What we do is we get things done.
Isn't that interesting? We're not in some sort of weird machismo. I love how he says it, machismo. Showing here. We advocate for our citizens. Again, we're talking about Julian Assange, villain or hero, on today's show. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We got just a few minutes left before top of the hour. You want to get your opinions in? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Karen from Madison, you're on the air. What do you think?
Hi. I kind of am coming in from a different slight because I studied that Edward Snowden. That kind of makes me think yes. that there is a little bit of a, right? Like,
say that
I feel
again.
Like these people, that, yeah, like they went, they try to bring things out that were hidden and whistleblowers. And, you know, maybe I don't know as much about Julian, but I'm trying to learn more today. And I just want to thank everybody for helping me learn.
Oh, well, thanks. Karen, I'm going to give you like two snaps up for a couple of things. First of all, we love new callers and listeners. Thank you for listening. And thank you for being open to learning more about issues and delving into them with us here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is what it's all about. Yes, this brings up the case of Edward Snowden, who I believe is still effectively on the run. The guy had to live in Russia for a while. I mean, there's lots here. I thought we could also take a quick listen before I give you my final thought on this to what Gabriel Shipton, Julian Assange's brother, had to say yesterday.
Speaking in Parliament, Australian Foreign Minister Penny Wong.
The Prime Minister and I have been very clear. Mr. Assange's case is dragged on.
You know, as Julian's family, we're overjoyed, we're overwhelmed that he is finally free. This has been an incredibly long campaign. His health has been deteriorating. He has a few different conditions health-wise. But I think now is a chance for him to rest and recuperate. I hope there's a few people out there who are going to have a beer tonight and celebrate Julian's freedom. We're looking forward to welcoming Julian back to his family in Australia. And really, I think his freedom is the main thing.
All of this, thank you all for the great conversation and all of the calls, text messages, and thoughtful commentary. There is so much to do here. My final thought on this issue is this. We listened to what Donald Trump had to say when a whistleblower exposed his attempted extortion of U.S. ally Ukraine. We heard what he had to say. He said, "We kill them." I think what we can all agree upon is that that is wrong. That Donald Trump is wrong, that no matter who decides, we don't want it to be Donald Trump, that no matter who's going to control the military or make life or death decisions about U.S. foreign policy, it can't be, it shouldn't be, it must never be Donald Trump again. Because he knows no American interest, he knows only his own self-interest. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. When we come back, we're going to be welcoming one of the most reasonable men in politics, Tom Paulsowitz. We're going to talk about all of the crazy things that are happening from the Supreme Court. Hold on to your hats, folks. It's only getting worse from here. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Your news, weather, and sports are up next.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Earl Ingram.
Abram.
On the next show, I'll talk to the patriotic millionaires about the need for tax reform in the United States and react to the news from the weekend. It's Motown Monday.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.